Upstate Medical University in Syracuse, New York invite you to be the informed patient with the podcast that features experts from Central New York's only academic medical center. I'm your host, Amber Smith. Today I'm talking about melanoma, the most dangerous form of skin cancer, with hematologist-oncologist Dr. Jad Homsy. He's Division Chief of Hematology and Oncology at Upstate and the Associate Director of Adult Hematology Oncology at the Upstate Cancer Center. Welcome back to The Informed Patient, Dr. Homsy.
Thank you for having me.
Can you start by describing what melanoma is? I know it's the most dangerous form of skin cancer, but what is it?
You're right. Melanoma is a type of skin cancer, and it tends to be one of most aggressive types of skin cancers. It's not the most common. Basal cell cancer and squamous cell cancer are still more common than melanoma, but melanoma tends to be way more aggressive than the other two. Melanoma is a cancer of what we call a melanocyte. These are the cells that are present in our skin. And usually the function of these cells, the reason we have these cells, is to protect our skin and protect us from sunburn. And so these cells resist sunlight, and that's how we stay protected when we are exposed to sunlight. And that's really where melanoma starts, in these cells. As I said, you know, it's not the most common skin cancer. So approximately, we do see in the United States reported to have 100,000 cases of melanoma per year. That's in men and also in women.
Does it get confused with squamous cell and basal? Do they look similar?
Usually they don't. However, there are some types of melanomas that may be misleading. I think the idea that melanoma is always starts on an existing mole or a nevus, and that it's always dark in color is not always true. So sometimes we see melanomas that don't meet melanoma that does not meet that criteria. That's maybe when it could be confused with other type of skin cancer, but usually with an expert eye, I think a dermatologist and a good trained provider is able to differentiate between the two.
Now, can melanomas show up anywhere on the body, or do you usually find them only where the sun shines?
Not necessarily where the sun shines. So there is a small percentage of melanomas that start on areas in the skin that are not really exposed to skin, such as the palm and sole, such as under the nail beds. And also we have a type of melanoma called mucosal melanoma, where melanoma can start in the sinuses, in the oral mucosa, also on the rectum. And we do have also a type of vaginal melanoma. However, you know, most melanomas starts on the skin, and usually these are in the sun exposed area of the skins. It tends to be more common in the torso or the scalp in men, and more common in the extremities or arms and legs for women. And so that's sometimes a difference between the presentation and between women and men. The other thing is, it's not always, melanoma doesn't always present or doesn't show on an existing mole or a nevus, but it can start on a normal skin or what we call a regular skin.
So a place that you never had a mark before, it might just appear.
Right.
You described it this as aggressive. Does that mean it grows fast?
So it can grow fast, and it can grow deep and wide as well. And so these are some of the characteristic or some of the things sometimes we look for when we are monitoring a mole or a suspicious lesion. And so how fast a lesion or a mole is growing or changing can be an indication that this is a malignant mole or a malignant lesion that needs to be biopsied and evaluated.
Now, Does this usually occur in adults, or do you ever see melanomas in children?
It's very rarely to have melanoma in children. We don't really know why, but it's more common in adults. There is an increase in melanoma cases currently in older men, rather. So that's a population that is at now much higher a risk to have melanoma, older men, older than 50s and 60 years old. We see a lot of cases now.
Interesting. Now, I'm assuming most people would bring something like a skin lesion or a change in a mole to their doctor's attention or to the dermatologist's attention. At what point might they be referred to see someone like yourself?
So that's a good question. And you know, sometimes there's no straight answer to it. Definitely, the initial workup is usually done by a dermatologist or a primary care physician or a family doctor or a nurse practitioner. And that evaluation is usually includes what we call a skin evaluation, as well as most of the time a skin biopsy or a biopsy of that lesion. We rely on that biopsy to determine what the next step is. And really what that biopsy shows is kind of determine where the patient goes from there to a surgeon, to see a surgical oncologist, or sometimes to see a surgeon and a medical oncologist. And that's really depending on how aggressive the melanoma looks under the microscope.
This is Upstate's The Informed Patient Podcast. I'm your host, Amber Smith. I'm talking with Dr. Jad Holmsey, who is the Division Chief of Hematology and Oncology at Upstate. Now, before we get into more of the diagnosis and treatment, are you able to predict who might be at greatest risk for melanoma? I know you mentioned that older men, there's a lot of cases that are showing up. Is that because they're at higher risk?
So risk factors kind of applies to everybody, and these are known, or, you know, we've known about these risk factors for a really long time. These risk factors tend to be mostly focused or mostly risk factors for the skin melanoma. We don't really have a good risk factor for the other less common types of melanomas. For skin melanomas, patient with light skin, patient who had a history of sun exposure or sunburn growing up or as children, tend to be at higher risk for melanoma. Patients who have a large number of moles, or also a number of what we call a bad mole, or a mole that did not behave like a normal mole, these are all at increased risk for to develop melanoma later in life.
If you have family members who've had melanoma, are you at greater risk? Does it run in families?
So it definitely, you are at increased risk if one of the family members has melanoma. And we usually recommend for all family members to have a what we call skin check or an early kind of regular evaluation on a regular basis for all family members with a family member with a diagnosis of melanoma.
I'm assuming sunscreen to protect your skin from the sun or staying out of the sun entirely might help people reduce their risk. But what about someone who had many sunburns as a child and now they're an adult and they're now getting kind of concerned about this? Is there anything they can do to undo that damage that was already done?
So there isn't much to do to undo the damage. However, not to add kind of fuel to a fire in a way. So not to continue to be exposed to sunlight is definitely something we recommend. Plus, regular exam is really what we recommend, meaning having a regular checks by a dermatologist or primary care physicians for what we call a head-to-toe exam. And that's really what seems to be the most effective way of detecting not just melanoma, but any type of skin cancer.
Now, getting back to the diagnosis stage, if you have the biopsy, that's a sample taken of the area of concern, you're able to tell whether it's melanoma. Can you tell what stage it is or whether it has spread?
So what the biopsy tells us if it is melanoma. It also can tell us if it's aggressive melanoma. So what we see under the microscope is very important. It really, that's how we guide the next step, as I said, and that most of the time would include surgery after the biopsy. After the surgery, then we have a better sample from the skin when the surgeon removes the lesion or the mole. And sometimes we also look for the lymph nodes that is in that area where the lesion is. And based on that information, we determine the stage. And usually the melanoma staging goes between stage 1 up to 4. Stage 4 is when melanoma spread to other organs. And these could be any body organs, such as liver, lungs, bone, and brain. And some of the ways we sometimes look for melanoma spread to other organs is through imaging studies, and these are usually CT scans, MRI, PET scans, or a combination of these tests.
So it sounds like you really have to know the stage and whether it's spread or where to before you can come up with a treatment plan.
For sure, because a treatment could be surgery alone without any additional treatment, or it could be surgery followed by sometime a radiation or what we call systemic therapy or immunotherapy, or it could be only systemic therapy. And these are in the cases where we're talking about stage 4 melanoma.
When you say systemic therapy, is that chemotherapy?
So maybe 20 years ago or so, we used to treat melanoma with chemotherapy. However, this treatment was not very effective. It didn't really lead to any improvement in the outcome of melanoma as far as survival and how long patients lived. And so in the past 20 years or so, the treatment of melanoma has changed significantly by the introduction of something called immunotherapy. Immunotherapy is the treatment that works on the immune system. It stimulates the immune system, and the immune system is the one that, you know, fights the cancer. Now, these treatments, although they've changed the way we treat melanoma, they've improved life expectancy for patients with melanoma. But however, they're not, you know, as it may sound, like natural type of treatment. These are treatments that still have some side effects, a little different than the chemotherapy side effects, but experienced oncologists are able to manage these side effects usually. In addition to immunotherapy, we also have something called targeted therapy. Targeted therapy is a treatment that works on a specific gene abnormality in the melanoma. And this treatment usually comes in a pill form. And usually it's indicated only in patients who have that gene abnormality. So as you can tell, the treatment has significantly changed, and it's kind of tailored based on the patient and the stage of the melanoma and the aggressiveness also of the melanoma.
I didn't hear you mention radiation therapy. Is that ever part of it?
Sometimes it can be, and the main use for radiation is in two ways. The first one is what we call palliative radiation. This is the radiation that helps with symptoms. If melanoma involving different organs, we can consider radiation to help with pain or symptom management. The other way we would recommend radiation is after surgery. Sometimes we have multiple lymph node involvement or very large lymph node involvement, and that's when we recommend additional preventative radiation therapy. And so it's kind of limited use, but it still has some kind of use.
You're listening to Upstate's The Informed Patient Podcast. I'm your host, Amber Smith. I'm talking with Dr. Jad Homsy, who is the Division Chief of Hematology and Oncology at Upstate. Now, once the melanoma is removed, do you use the cure word?
The good news here is patients with very early melanoma, after they have their melanoma removed or excised surgically, they usually have a life expectancy, or 95% of them or higher have a very long life expectancy. And they tend to have a, you know, very low likelihood of melanoma recurrence. And that's why we emphasize the early detection of melanoma. Now, this could change when it comes to more advanced stages of melanoma. So the survival or the what we could call a cure rate can go down with a more advanced stages of melanoma. However, with the newer treatments that we currently have, we do have many patients who continue to respond to the treatment, and we had their treatment even stopped, and they still don't have any sign of the melanoma progression. And so although it may sound like a cure, we still don't call it a cure, but we're making some significant progress. So when it comes to maybe keeping melanoma in remission rather than to cure melanoma.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of options for managing it. How does melanoma impact a person's life, both during treatment and afterward?
It could significantly impact patients' lives, especially that we do have a good percentage of patients diagnosed with melanoma at a young age. And so it could really affect, you know, the most productive time of someone's lives, and sometimes complication in length of therapy that is required. It definitely could compromise someone's quality of life as well as their ability to be involved in other things, such as, you know, work and other things. In addition to that, there are also some consequences also related to the surgery, such as things like lymphedema, a lot of these things that kind of patients have to live with, where you have significant enlargement in the lower extremities or sometimes upper extremities due to removing the lymph nodes. And so that's something also that could affect someone's life, you know, in the future.
But I know a lot of cancer patients, depending on the cancer, sort of live with the fear that it's going to come back. But you said it's pretty rare for melanomas to return.
Only in early stages. And when it comes to more advanced stages, the percentage or the likelihood of melanoma recurrence go up. So as I said, for stage one, sometimes we're looking at a, you know, relapse rate that is very low. Usually it could be less than 5% of the melanoma returning. However, when we're talking about some of the advanced stage two and stage three, the relapse rate can go over 50% in some of these stages. So that's why it's very important to continue with surveillance even after completing surgery and the recommended treatment, because surveillance also can detect an early melanoma recurrence. You know, so that's very important, the follow-up after completing the treatment.
So I'm assuming that means you see a dermatologist or a specialist more regularly.
Correct. For stage one melanoma, usually they do their, an early stage two, they do their surveillance with the dermatologist. For more, you know, a more advanced stage two, three, and four, these are the patients that tend to follow up with an oncologist and sometimes with a surgical oncologist as well, in addition to a dermatologist. You will go on with many years of surveillance if you are one of these patients.
Now, if there is a recurrence, will it be near where the original melanoma was found?
Not necessarily. It's one of the possibilities that it could return where it started, but sometimes it can return in a distant area, such as an organ, for example. So it could, you know, come back in the liver or the lungs, and or sometimes the brain. it doesn't always follow a specific pattern of recurrence.
So when they come for surveillance, that's going to have to include some imaging to take a look at the liver and the brain, right?
Correct. So that's more indicated for folks who, as I said, have a more advanced stage 2, stage 3 melanoma that had surgery and maybe completed the recommended therapy. And then their surveillance would include scans, being PET scan, CT scans, MRI, combination of those, and as well as seeing a dermatologist as well.
So let me ask you, as an oncologist then, if you find a recurring melanoma in someone's liver, is that treated like liver cancer or melanoma? I mean, are they treated differently?
Not necessarily, because melanoma is melanoma no matter what it is. So even if it's in the liver, it's still treated as melanoma. The first thing we would do if we see something suspicious in the liver, let's say someone had melanoma 5 or 10 years ago and now they have something suspicious in their liver, the first thing we would attempt is to still obtain a biopsy of that abnormality in the liver. And if it turns out to be melanoma, then we would treat it as a stage 4 melanoma, most of the time with systemic therapy or with immunotherapy. Sometimes we can consider surgery for stage 4 melanoma if we're dealing with an isolated area or, you know, what we call one spot where we can remove it and then watch it, or maybe remove it and then consider immunotherapy after surgery.
If a patient comes to you at the Upstate Cancer Center, can you tell me how melanoma patients are handled?
The patient usually is referred to one of the melanoma expert team. So that consists of a surgeon and medical oncologist, a head and neck surgeon. And based on the initial evaluation, we then discuss the patient in a multidisciplinary conference, where we discuss, you know, all the details about the patient, we review the records, and we decide on a course of action or a plan. And based on that plan, then we determine who needs to see the patients in what order. So that's really how our multidisciplinary conferences and approach works.
So it sounds like they really get a whole team approach if they come to the cancer center.
Correct.
That's good to know. I appreciate you making time for this interview, Dr. Holmesy. My guest has been Dr. Shad Holmesy, the Associate Director of Adult Hematology and Oncology at the Upstate Cancer Center. The Informed Patient is a podcast covering health, science, and medicine, brought to you by Upstate Medical University in Syracuse, New York, and produced by Jim Howe, with sound engineering by Bill Broquel and graphic design by Dan Cameron. Find our archive of previous episodes at upstate.edu/informed. If you enjoyed this episode, please invite a friend to listen. You can also rate and review the Informed Patient podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you tune in. This is your host, Amber Smith, thanking you for listening.